message, the title is Examine Yourself. The Lord put this message on my heart maybe about 3 weeks ago, but it really hit home this Friday as we celebrated the life of our sister Tiffany. And as I was thinking through this message and just how death works, the truth is this, that death and judgment is a guarantee for everyone in this room. Therefore, it is wise that we examine ourselves often and make sure that we are ready for that day. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says this, "And it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, judgment." So that means that we all have a death date. That means that just like we have a birth date, we have a death date as well. And you know, sometimes we get kind of scared by the word judgment. But I've come to see that judgment is just a summary of your life. That's really all it is, right? So if your life is hidden in Christ, then you're good. But if your life is built on something else, well, that's a different story. So in 1 Corinthians 11, 28, which we just read, and again in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul tells the New Testament church over and over, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So this lets us know that self-examination is something that we need in the Christian faith. This also lets us know that once saved, always saved is not true. Because if you were once saved, always saved, why would Paul say, examine yourself, right? So it's almost like if you knew that you were guaranteed to pass the class, why would you even take the test? So we have to examine ourselves. That is what the scripture says. Now, sometimes we think about examining ourselves in the wrong way. So examining ourselves is not questioning if Jesus can save us. As we just sang this morning, the blood is enough. The blood works. The blood saves. We can be sure that Jesus and the salvation that he purchased for us is tried, is true, it's been tested, as long as we stay in it. Examining ourselves is not a test of if we deserve to be saved. We don't. Nobody here can earn the right to be saved by God. So that is not what examining ourselves is. But so the word examine means to inspect someone or something in detail to determine their nature or condition. So the question this morning is, how do we examine ourselves? How do we biblically examine ourselves? To answer that, turn with me to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus was in the middle of his ministry. And at this point, Jesus was beginning to get famous for the miracles and the signs and the words that he was speaking. Because as the scripture said, oftentimes when he spoke, people said things like, this man did not go to school. How does he speak so strong and so bold, like one who has power? So in John chapter 6, I'll just kind of skim through some things because there's a point that I'm trying to make here. So for the sake of time, we'll rush. But in verse 2, it says that a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. And then in verses 4 through 14, Jesus then feeds 5,000 people. And by verse 15, they were ready to make him king. So Jesus was getting famous and famous and famous because he healed people, he fed people, he was giving everybody what their flesh wanted, until he opened his mouth and preached a very, very strange sermon. And the title of this sermon, which I made up. It's called Eat My Flesh and Drink My Blood. So Jesus was doing all these signs, and everybody loved him until he opened his mouth and spoke and said, I am the bread of life from heaven. My flesh is food and my blood is drink. You must eat and drink of me to have eternal life. And then in John 6, verse 60, it says this, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this strange sermon, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand this? Another translation says, this word is hard. Who can hear it? So many of his disciples. So as you guys know, Jesus had more than 12 disciples. He had hundreds of people following him. But as the scripture tells us, these people came just because of the signs and the food and because they wanted to make him king. And this word here that says, who can understand it? When you look at the Greek word is aku, which is where we get the word acoustics. So if you know what that is, right, it's simply just how sound travels in a room, right? So we have here these people who simply came to Jesus for the signs and the food and because they wanted to make him king, and they heard a word of God that was clashing with the idols that they had in their heart, because they came to Jesus with an idol of who he was. They came to him saying, oh, Jesus is this guy and he does this, and they built this huge idol of who he was in their heart. It's like these speakers up here. For this room to sound as well as it does, you have to have things in the right place. But if you have a large idol right here and the sound hits it, you guys won't hear that sound right. So when we have an idol in our heart of who we think Jesus is, and we hear the word of God, the true word of God, it clashes with the idol. And that's what we see here, that these people came to him just for signs, just because they want to eat, and just because they wanted to make him king so he could do what? Take back what they lost from Rome. So this shows us that it's possible to come to Jesus and follow him, not because of him, but because of our ideas of him, because of what we learned of him from our parents, which might be true or not true, right? But we all, at some point, when we got saved, we all thought that Jesus was A, B, C, D. But as you walk with him, you begin to see that, no, he's other. He's different. He wants the little details of your life, not just the big sins. He wants everything. He wants to physically, spiritually, socially, financially consume you. He wants you to be his, right? So Jesus' words is the first way that we examine ourselves. We allow the word to examine us, because left on our own, we cannot intellectually examine ourselves, because we have our own standards and they fall short of his, because we tend to examine ourselves because we're doing better than the next person. Like, oh, I'm better than my cousin because he don't go to church. I go to church, so technically I'm good. But Jesus here is saying, no, that there's a standard that is higher than your standard. So the first step of examining yourself is to allow the word to examine you. In Hebrews 4:12, Paul says this, that the word of God is living and sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we cannot examine ourselves on our own. We must submit to the word of God. Come to a place where the word of God is preached. Read our Bible so that that word can then begin to examine us. Because examining ourselves is not what we think, but it's what the word says. And as we sit under it, it begins to show us who we really are. So oftentimes we come to church and we hear the word of God, and we hear a pastor say one thing, and then he says another thing, and it just keeps on dropping, and it's almost like, all right, God, I hear you. Stop the beating. Like, it's just boom, 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 right? So here we see that the disciples, they were saying, this word is hard. Who can hear it? And in John 6:61, Jesus says this, and it says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So Jesus essentially doubled down. He didn't give him any room to say, well, maybe I misheard. Maybe the word doesn't really say that. Jesus kept the pressure on and said, no, these words that I'm speaking to you are spirit and life. These words aren't just about you having food and you feeling good and you having a king that can take back what you guys lost from Rome. These words are something greater than you have ever heard before. And that is exactly why we need to sit under the word. Because sometimes we can lie to ourselves. Sometimes we can think we are doing better than we're doing, but the word of God is sharp, it is true, and it doesn't leave any wiggle room for self. It wants to kill self. So Jesus doubled down, and in verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So essentially, they dropped the course. Raise your hand here if you ever dropped a course in college. After that first test, you're like, nah, this class is not for me. So they dropped it, dropped the course. And some of the practical examples of how the word works is, and I'm going to just say this and not look at nobody, but no matter who the president is, can you pray for them? It's not your body, your choice. It belongs to Jesus. Do you believe that? See, the word will challenge us in the most simple ways, in the most simple things, just to see, is he Lord or is he just a teacher? Is he Lord or is he just somebody that you listen to feel good and think better of yourself? Or have you truly submitted to him? So the word of God first deals with our idols. Because, see, an idol is like a blindfold. You can hear the words, but you can't really see who is speaking to you. So the word of God must deal with your idol first for you to see Jesus rightly. So after we allow the word of God to first examine us, the next step is we now must examine Jesus. We must respond to him. So first, the word of God is spoken, and we hear it, and it begins to show the depths of our heart. And then once those idols are exposed and dealt with, now we can examine Jesus. In verse 67 of John 6, Jesus says this, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. So Peter responded rightly. Peter examined by the Holy Spirit and said, Jesus, I know who you are. I see who you are. But there was one problem with this answer. Verse 7, he says, Jesus answered, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. So while studying for this, I had a light bulb go off. And The Word of God examines us like a big blanket. One word can speak to us all. But how we examine Jesus, it must be personal. We can't let the pastor on stage speak for us. See, Judas sat back and said, yeah, go, Peter. What he's saying is right. But Jesus was asking, as he said in Matthew 6:16, verse 15, I know what men say of me, but who do you say I am? You examine me. You look at me. You tell me for yourself who you say that I am. Because it's easy to be in church and hear the pastor say God is good, and we say amen, and we think that that's really what's in our hearts because we said amen. But every man must examine himself by sitting under the word and examine Jesus by personally responding to Jesus for himself. Because it's not what our pastor says. It's not what our parents say. It's not even what our spouse thinks. Every man will stand naked before God and will have to give a detailed telling of what they did with Jesus. So we all have to examine Jesus for ourselves. Now, there's a danger in not examining Jesus for ourselves. Because sometimes we can hang around in a church and I don't want to say play the part, but we can hang around in a church and, you know, do the things that we know to do, right? We can be religious and we could think that we're fooling everybody, but God sees through all that. So turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. And we are actually going to look at the first time that they had communion. Because in this story, we see what happens when we fail to examine ourselves, when we fail to let the word expose the idols in our hearts, and when we fail to properly respond to Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 26, verse 20, it says, when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, he said, surely, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them, now I'm going to read this very slow, began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Verse 23, and he answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to him, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for him that if he had not been born, verse 25, then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? So one by one, each of them said, Lord, is it I? Lord, Master, is it I? But it got to Judas, and what did he say? Rabbi, teacher. After 3 years of walking with Jesus, seeing signs, seeing him do all kinds of things, seeing him speak the word of life, Jesus was still just a teacher to Judas. Jesus was never Lord. Jesus had never truly entered his heart. And just like it is then, well, just like it was then, it is now. It's possible to come to church and we hear the words of the man or woman on stage, and they're saying good things, things that sound nice, things that we can practice, but we haven't really stopped to say, is he Lord of my life, or is he just a teacher? Because when Jesus is just a teacher, the goal of the student is to gain something. and sometimes even at the expense of the teacher. But when Jesus is Lord, the goal of the servant is the Lord. Whatever the Lord says, that's what I do. But when Jesus is just a teacher, you come to him for mental gains, but you don't submit your life to him. And when Jesus is just a teacher, you, like I have, will fall for all those books that promise quick three easy steps to get wealthy, to get power, or to break through. So I'll share my story just real quick. For many years, I struggled with porn. And I would look up everything. Okay, let me see what this man of God says, and let me find his 10 steps to deal with this thing, right? See, we all want steps, because steps make us feel good. All right, I'm going to do step one, and then I'm going to do what? Check it off. Do step two and check it off. And we think by doing steps, we can find freedom. But I can tell you this, that number one, I don't remember the last time I even watched porn, because I gave my life to the Lord and he became my Lord. I didn't have to find steps, right? As I said, okay, Jesus, I truly do give you my life. I truly do submit to you as Lord. That just broke away. That left me. I didn't leave it. So when we truly give our lives to Jesus, not just mentally, but truly say, Lord, come and be my Lord. Jesus, come and rule my thoughts. Jesus, come and rule my heart. Things will leave you. You don't have to struggle to leave sin. Sin will leave you. So as we get ready to close, I'll share one more story with you guys. 13 years ago in college, I was the kind of guy who would be in the world and be in the church at the same time. Because I grew up in the church, I knew what was right. I was kind of like a good kid, but I still wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I remember we were getting ready to go to a party. And this girl, she looked at me and she just saw right through me. She was like, Ike, you're a Christian? And you're in a Christian frat? Is this how you represent God? And she cut right through me. And me being me, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Don't really care. Why? Because you're here with me, so how can you judge me, right? But 13 years later, it makes so much sense, because I can look back now and say that Jesus was just a teacher. I knew about him. I read about him. I tried to live by my list of do's and don'ts. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, we can smoke weed Monday through Friday, but Sunday we must be in church. Check. Right? So you have these lists in your mind that you think that if I just do it, that, Jesus will be all right with me. But those words stuck with me 13 years later, because I now see that if Jesus is not Lord, at some point, you and I will betray him. At some point, you will find yourself doing something that he is not pleased with if he's not Lord. And even when he is Lord, yes, we're going to fall short. See, Peter and Judas both denied God. But one of them, he was Lord, and the other one, he was just a teacher. So when he's Lord, when you do fall short, you have something to fall back on, his lordship. But if he's just a teacher, your whole psyche is wrapped around the fact that you have to do what? Keep your checklist. And once you don't keep that thing, oh man, God hates you. God's going to kill you. God's going to do all these things to you. But when you know his lordship, you know that truly there is grace in lordship. There's mercy in lordship. There's peace in lordship. He wants to make you right. He doesn't want to kill you, because if Jesus wants to kill us, why did he even save us? If he truly wanted to just judge everybody and send everybody to hell, why would he send his only son? So when we are under the lordship of Christ, When we do fall short, there's mercy, there's grace, there is everything that we need to come back to Him and walk as we ought to. So this morning, the message is very simple. Every one of us must examine ourselves. We must first allow the Word of God to examine and expose the idols in our own hearts. Then we must examine Jesus to truly say, is He Lord or is He something else? But here's the truth about this. Is just like for 3 years, Jesus knew exactly who would betray Him, but nobody else knew. See, we all have it in us to fool each other. We all have it in us to act like we're right. We can come to church, sing, worship. Hey, brother, how you doing? Blessed, highly favored. Yeah, next week, see ya. And it's all good. We all can do that. And it sounds nice, but Jesus knows the intents of our hearts, and we cannot fool Him. And just like our sister, Tiffany, passed away, but stood before God, and Jesus welcomed her into heaven, we're all going to have that day where we have to stand before Him, and He will judge us on the intents of our heart. And it's not that we're going to be perfect, but when He looks in your heart, does He see that Jesus is Lord, or is He just a teacher? Is He just something that you added to your life and didn't make your life? So in closing, I'll leave you guys with this thought. For a fact, I know that there's someone here that I'm speaking to, and you've been in church your whole life. You know the right things. You know when to say amen. You know when to clap. You know when not to clap. You know, you know how to do church. But deep down, you only see Jesus as a teacher. And you only see Him as a savior. But truth be told, the foundation of our walk with Christ is that He is Lord of everything or Lord of nothing. So everything else, teacher, savior, all good things, but those things are built on the Lordship of Christ. Just like me and my wife, everything that we have is built on husband and wife. Yeah, we're friends. Yeah, we're this. Yeah, we're that. But the foundation is that contract that we signed. So once again, there's someone here I'm speaking to. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You, like I said, you've been in church. You know how to look the part, but Jesus is not Lord of your life. And you might think that, let me just hang around like Judas and I'll be just fine. But at some point, there's a trial coming that will expose what is in your heart. And you don't want to wait till that day to figure out if He's Lord or not. Amen? Amen. So let's just take some time, just once again, examine ourselves. Examine our own hearts. Let the Word examine you. Don't try to examine yourself by what you think. Don't try to examine yourself by what you've heard others say. Don't try to measure yourself by what your parents did or anything. Just let the Word of God truly search you and examine you. And once that happens, it's now your turn to examine Jesus and just tell Him, who is He to you? Is He truly Lord? Is He truly your friend? Is He truly your salvation? Or is He just a Sunday thing? Is He just a teacher? Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning simply asking that You search us by Your Word. You search us, because only You can search us, because Your Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It splits through everything, all the thoughts and all the things that are in our hearts. Father, we submit to You who we are. We know that we cannot do this on our own. We know that we have blinders and idols in our lives. We know that sometimes we see You through wealth, through pride, through power, through just so many things, Lord. So, Father, we first ask that You remove the blinders from our eyes. Remove the idols from our hearts so that we can see You rightly and respond to You rightly. Because only when You are Lord do we then receive the benefits of Your Lordship. So Father, we submit to you this morning. We ask that you just search us. Search us, Lord. Don't leave us to our own thoughts. Don't let us think that we are right with you when we are not, Lord. We submit ourselves to you this morning. And as we leave here, Lord, help us to constantly examine ourselves by sitting under the word, by reading the word, by studying the word, by just saying, Lord, show me if there's anything in me that is not pleasing to you. And knowing that you are patient, you are kind, and that in your Lordship, there's grace, there's mercy, there's power as we are examined.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Examine ourselves. Examine yourself. Amen. I'm reminded daily to examine myself. It's not very easy. I'm reminded daily, how do I look at Jesus? Do I look at him as teacher? Do I look at him as Lord? We're all human. We all go through things. But it's up to us to stay in him. Everyone in here has a heart to stay connected and close to the Lord. Everyone in here. Thank the Lord for his correction and his guidance today in his word. Amen. It gives us encouragement. It gives us strength. Keep pushing forward. Don't give up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. If you haven't had a chance to give, we do appreciate your support. And if you haven't had that chance, do so, so we can continue to push the gospel out through the airwaves and across this world. We thank those that have joined us by webcast as well. We hope to see you on Wednesday's Bible study too. Baptism service is on September 7th. If you are being baptized, congratulations. It's a wonderful thing. And we look forward to seeing everyone that's going to be baptized. We look forward to seeing you here. Ignite prayer is September 5th. It's on Friday at 10 p.m. to midnight. So if you have the opportunity to come out to Ignite prayer September 5th, which is a Friday, please join us from 10 to midnight. You don't have to stay the whole time, but just come in and let's get in the presence of the Lord together. Amen. Let us say a word of prayer and we will be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you for your correction, because in your correction is your love. We thank you, Father, for reminding us to continue to examine ourselves as the day draws close where you will return and we will meet you in the air. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed us in this life. We look forward to spending the rest of our lives with you in eternity. Help us to continue to grow closer to you, to study your word, and to walk with you, Father. Lord, be with us as we leave this place, wherever we're going to enjoy our family or a bite to eat, whatever it may be, Father. We thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.